turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Ecclesiastes chapter 4. I don't know if I'll get through the whole message this morning. There's quite a bit to this, so this might end up as a series. I know that I don't want to go much past 30, 35 minutes, 40 minutes, because I'd rather go slow enough that we retain what I'm getting ready to say. The title of the message is Why Christian Kids Go Bad. And it has nothing to do with here. It has everything to do with what I've observed in my life. I was raised in a Christian home with Christian values. I've seen many other folks raise their children in a Christian home with Christian values, and I've seen many of my friends that I grew up with, that played with as childhood playmates, go bad, go into the world, and never come back. And the prayer of the parents, the prayer of the folks that they grew up with, is that they would come back to Jesus, come back to the way. And this morning, I'd like to bring a message on sometimes why Christian kids go bad. And I want to start here and use as a springboard or as a text, Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 1. Very powerful verse of scripture written by Solomon, the wisest man to have walked this earth. And he says this by inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God. It's been preserved here for us in its perfect form. So I returned, I'm in verse 1. I returned and considered all the oppressions that are done under the sun. And behold, the tears of such as were oppressed, and they had no comforter. And on the side of their oppressors, there was power, but they had no comforter. Let us pray. Our gracious Father, we come to you now. We thank you for it this morning. And Father, the message weighs heavy on my heart. It must be delivered. It must be talked about. It must be preached about. But Father, the whole meaning for the message is to point souls to you. The whole meaning of the message is that folks develop a relationship with you. Be with us now. If there be any astray, if there be any lost, let them see the need that they do not have a leg to stand on this morning without the Comforter, without you in their lives. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Solomon here is considering, and when a wise man such as this starts considering things, we need as common folk to be able to pay attention and to be able to look at what his conclusion was to this. And he talks about the oppressions that are done under the sun, and he talks about the tears of the people that are being oppressed, and that there is no strength with those people that are being oppressed, but that the strength lies with the oppressor. I was doing some reading of some facts from 2007 statistics. It says that 69% of Bible college graduates, I'm talking Christians, Bible college graduates forsake their faith within 18 months. Now, what the statistic meant by forsaking their faith was that they do not attend church anymore. That they went to Bible college on fire for God. They went to Bible college thinking to learn more about Christ. Now catch that, because I'm going to make a distinction about learning more about and knowing. and end up forsaking their faith by forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Matter of fact, that is an epidemic even in this age. As we take note, as we got out, matter of fact, we kind of observed that a little bit Friday night. Now, I think one of the reasons we didn't see a lot of youth was I think they were using the youth in the program, but still, with all the people that showed up Friday night, we observed that most of that crowd was older. Now, there was youth and they were being involved in the service, and I think it's very powerful and very good that we involve our youth that we have here in this service, in our worship service, and get them trained at an early age instead of ostracizing them, instead of setting them aside, and I'm going to get into this later, throwing a bunch of rules at them and not teaching them how to have a relationship with Christ. There's something to that, folks. And I've observed this, and I've lived long enough to know how the snow blows on this subject, having observed this very subject my whole life. Now, we must come to the question of why is this happening in America today? Why is this forsaking of the assembly going on by our youth today? Well, let's look at our text. He says that he considers all the oppressions that are done under the sun. And behold, the tears. There's people that are being oppressed that have tears because there's no comforter. And he actually says there's no comforter twice for these people that are being oppressed. Now, the word oppressed is an old English word for outside pressure. That's what that means. Oppressed is an old English word for outside pressure. And Solomon here is pondering the emotional instability that comes from outside pressure, from being torn. And we're going to even get into oppression is being overburdened by outside pressures. And we get so overburdened, especially our youth in America, because of so many oppressors that we don't know which way to go. We're torn. Oppression is pressure applied by an outside source. It is also not always satanic in origin. It can come as peer pressure, family pressure, job pressure, husband pressure, wife pressure, daddy pressures, mommy pressure. A child growing up has such a desire to want to please the parents. If the child is in a natural state of mind, a child is in a loving environment, being raised right, according to the book. And sometimes we as parents put so much pressure on that child for performance, the child becomes torn. Not only is a child going to have to deal with that family pressure, church pressures, but it's going to deal with pressures of the world on top of all that. And the Bible says, behold the tears and this emotional instability of such that are oppressed, for they have no comforter. There's nobody there to comfort them. Matter of fact, maybe sometimes during a child's teen years, maybe that's why they become so sullen sometime, and they withdraw so many times within themselves because they're being torn so many different ways. And everything that's being thrown at them is, don't do this, don't do that, don't do this, and don't do that. And we got to have rules. We got to have the do nots. But there's no sense in having do nots unless you tell them what they're got to do's. Or what the to-dos are. Let me correct myself. We focus too much on the do-nots and never tell them why we've got them doing the do-nots so they can do the to-dos. The Apostle Paul said that he was separated from the world. He was separated from religion. He separated himself from sin. But he said the reason he had done that, according to Romans chapter 1, is because he was separated unto the gospel. There's a reason that we try to raise our kids in a Christian environment. There's a reason we try to give our children rules and Bible standards to live by. It's so that they can separate themselves unto a glorious, great work, like Nehemiah said. There's a great work. And winning souls to Christ and living for Jesus is a great work. But alas, the devil gets in the mix. You got the Sanballats and you got the Tobias that's going to come along and they're going to begin to oppress our youth. And the Bible says here, Solomon's saying that the power, great power, is on the side of the oppressor. And our youth, all they can do is shed tears as they enter into emotional instability. Many people ask, why can't people just stop smoking? Why can't they just stop doing drugs? Why can't they just stop living in sin? Why can't they just stop these sins and just live right? Why can't they do that? As if it was just that easy. Well, the Bible answers that question because the power is on the side of the oppressor, not the oppressed. And if you do not think that your child is under oppression, then you got your head stuck in the sand. I grew up in a Christian home, very conservative, but there was pressure. I don't think most people realize that a PK, not only does the world have a higher set of standards for a Christian kid than they do for their own kids, but when it comes to a PK, that means a pastor's or a preacher's kid, even Christians sitting in the pew have a higher set of standards for that kid than for their own kid. And it wasn't only just me, but it was other PK kids. And they were being torn. We'd go to school and feel those oppressions. I was into a Christian school a lot in my life. And I'm going to tell you, some of these Christian schools, they're no better than the public schools. Slap my mouth, but I know what I'm talking about because I've been in them. Because most Christian schools take the public school rejects. And so I knew more about drugs than most of your streetwalkers did out here because the public school rejects were trying to deal drugs in our Christian schools. Knew about the facts of life pretty early because of the public school rejects. This is called oppression that your children are under. Oppression means overburden. It's an outside pressure. But I want us to understand this morning that this oppression that Solomon is talking about that happens not only in our children's life, but also in our adult lives, but more so to our children because we don't have the experience. And that's why it's so important to have the aged. Many of the aged folks have been down those paths and they know what's at the end of them. Young people, it's so important to listen to the older people because they've faced some of the same oppressions that you're facing, but they already know the outcome. Listen to that wisdom. Listen to that wisdom. But this oppression is called the devil's management system for mankind. The devil's behind it all. The devil is the great oppressor. But there's three great oppressions in the Bible. If we was to take our Bible to 1 John chapter 2, let me share these with you. 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. Let me show you the three great oppressions. About verse 15. And this is here the Bible. The Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Now he's clear on this. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Now here they are. Love all for all that is in the world. The lust of the flesh. Now let me back up. This love not the world, he's talking about don't have a great affection for the world. Boy, young people, it's hard to keep them bridled back from the allurement of the world for the marquee lights. But he says we do not have a great affection for the world. This is what the devil uses to create these outside pressures on the saved and unsaved. Now look at this. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, That is a consuming desire to do. That's what that means, the lust of the flesh. Oh, I just want to do this. Oh, I want to do that. Oh, I don't have enough time. I want to do this. And people get caught up in the to-do things. That's called the lust of the flesh. That's an oppression by Satan to ensnare God's people, but more so to ensnare God's, to Christian kids or the youth to do. We remember being through our teenage years, there was just so many things we wanted to do. Just didn't have time to get them all in. But let's go with me now. And the lust of the eyes, that's a compelling desire to have. You say, oh, I don't know what you're talking about. Every kid I know of has a smartphone. That's that desire to have. Kids, they just have. They want to have. That's us adults. They learned that from the adults, to have. Oh, I got to have this. Oh, I got to have that. Oh, I got to have this. I can't live without that. I got to have this. Give me a credit card. Give me another credit card. I got to have it. I got to have. That's the lust of the eyes. That's an oppression that the devil uses to control. But then you got the pride of life. And the pride of life, that's a compelling desire or a compelling urge to be. Ooh, I'd like to be like that. Oh, I want to be like this. No, I want to be like that. No, I want to be like Superman. No, I want to be like this or I want to be like that. I want to be like this movie star. I want to be like that movie star. I want to do that. That's the pride of life. A compelling urge. It starts as an urge to be something that we're not. These are the three great oppressions. If you want a picture, you know, a lot of times when people draw a picture of Satan, they draw him as a red creature with a pitchfork. But that pitchfork has three prongs on it. You know why? These are the three prongs on that pitchfork. The lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. And the Bible says, Jesus said this, what would it profit a man if he was to gain the whole world? And what he's talking about there, if you could do everything you wanted to do, be everything you wanted to be, and have everything that you wanted in your whole life, what profit would there be in that if you lost your own soul? Many times, I remember this growing up. Many of the parents that I remember growing up around in the home church, they had their children totally engrossed in the lust of the flesh. They were teaching them how to go and do everything the world had to offer by enrolling them into so many sports that they missed church, by teaching them, but there was a football game on a Sunday or a basketball sports game on a Sunday, that it was more important to attend that than to come to church. Now, they didn't say that, but that's what they were doing by actions. And actions speak louder than words. So many times we as parents are guilty of training our children up in the way that they should go. And you got to be careful about these three oppressions, because a child has not reached the maturity level to be able to control its emotion. Now, more on that and the soul area here in a little bit. If I get to it today, I might only get to point one today, but I want to take the time to speak slow enough and clearly enough from the Bible that we actually get this and we kind of start understanding what has been going on in America, what has been going on in our homes, and the devil. It's got the devil stamped all over it because he's the great oppressor. Satan also oppresses Christians even when they can't lose, even though they can't lose their own soul. We kind of think, well, Satan just oppresses the lost. No, he has them. And he can oppress a Christian, and a Christian can get bogged down into these three great oppressions, even though they can't lose their salvation, but they can lose control. Now, hear me now. They can lose control of their soul. Your soul is where your emotions are, and your will is, and your mind is. That's your soul. And the Bible says that the soul is supposed to be ran by the Spirit. But so many times now today, we're not developing the Spirit. We're trying to develop the soul. See, that's where your rules and regulations come in. And all that the rules and regulations, just like the Old Testament law did to the Pharisees, is do nothing but build the soul. Character, emotions, your will, who you are. And all that, but it cannot get you into the presence of God. But when you set yourselves to an outside oppression, like drugs, that's an outside oppression. To do. People, I just got to do that. Oh, I got to have that experience. That will enable you to lose control of your soul. A drunk, most of the time a drunk said, oh, I just wasn't myself. A spirit overcame me. We've heard that. And that's what I'm talking about here. This is what we're talking about. Even a Christian can lose control of their soul if they give heed or fall into one of these three great oppressions. So we see that there actually is a battle going on, and we need to understand it's even going on in our children. Now, there's something that we need to do. We need to go back to Genesis because we need to understand God's design of human or of man. God's design of man. Let's go to Genesis chapter 2. And I'd like to show this to you because this not only is going to help us deal with the oppressions that come along in life, this is not only going to help us deal with raising our grandkids or raising our children right and helping them, but it's going to help us understand proper worship. This is the bedrock. This is a fundamental doctrine I'm getting ready to lay out. So I need you to pay attention this morning. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. Here is God's design of man. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. That's his body. That's the flesh that you see before you. That's man's shell. Man's shell. But watch this. That's one third of man. Let's read on. And breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Now, anytime you see God saying he breathed, as a matter of fact, the very word inspiration means God breathed. This is the spirit that God created in man. Man has created a body, soul, and a spirit. When Adam and Eve were created in the garden, they were perfect and they had a living spirit. Now we got to catch this. We have to catch this or we'll be forever wandering in the wilderness of emotional instability with false doctrine. So the spirit is created by God. It's breathed into him. And that becomes the breath of life. That's the air in the tire. That's what I was talking about last week when I said a body is like a tire. It has the rubber on the outside, it has the rim, but then it has the air. And if there is no air, if there is no Holy Spirit, or if that Spirit's dead, if there's no air in the tire, it's a flat tire. It ain't going to be no good. You can balance it all you want with law and rule on the sides, and it ain't going to help you one bit. So the Spirit's very important, but watch this. Once the Spirit, that's the next one third, and man became a living soul. That's the third part. A soul. So man become a soul. Now your soul, I think of it as the MWE. Your soul is the seat of emotions. That's where your will is, and that's where your mind is. How you think. It is the soul is the way you think, the way you want, and the way you feel. When you say, well, I just feel like that's not right. Well, and if you've been around me any time at all, you know, you've learned from the scriptures that we're not all the time to go on feelings because of feelings can be manipulated by outside oppression. Our feelings must be guarded or controlled by what we call the Spirit. Now, the soul is what makes us different from one another. And God created man as a body, the shell. And the shell holds your soul, your mind, your will, your emotions. And then the spirit is what communicates with God. See, God does not communicate to your soul. Now we got to get this. God does not communicate to your soul. God does not communicate to your mind. God does not communicate to your emotions. God does not talk to your will. God only communicates to man's spirit. John chapter 4, verse 24. I'll give you the scripture. God is a spirit. And they that worship him, that means worship, the word must, he said, watch, they that worship him must worship. Worship is communication. They must do it. Must is obligation. It's not going to happen no other way. So if you're going to talk to God, God is a spirit. Now this should open other things up into our doctrine, as in, well, who? Because it says that God did all this. Who? This is Lord Jehovah, capital L, capital O, R, and D, that was in the garden. If the Jehovah is a spirit, who was Adam and Eve walking with in the cool of the day? We'll be able to answer that. Jesus Christ. See, Jesus, he says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And that Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That's why Jesus says, before Abraham was, I am. Matter of fact, before Moses was, I am. That means he existed in his physical form. That's who was communicating with Adam and Eve here in the cool of the garden every evening through the Spirit. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. So the word, man's spirit is how God communicates to man. Hence, man today, because of the fall, has a what? A dead spirit. So a lost man cannot worship God. He can't. Why? He has a dead spirit. He can have an emotional experience. He could get all worked up in the flesh, but he cannot communicate with God because Jesus told the woman at the well, John chapter 4, that God is a spirit and he must be worshipped in spirit and truth. So what does this mean? What does this mean? Part of God's design is that God communicates to man's spirit through the Holy Spirit. That was a capital spirit over there in John chapter 4. And his spirit, the Bible says, upon salvation, knits with our spirit. But he says, not only do you need that to communicate with God, you got to have truth. Now, what does the Bible say about truth? He said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. John 17, 17. And the Bible also says that that word was Jesus Christ. You see where I'm going with this thing? So before you can communicate with God the Father, you've got to have Jesus Christ. Now are you starting to get the big picture of what was going on here in the garden? Do you see what Satan was trying to get Adam and Eve to do? They were trying to get Adam and Eve to communicate to God without Jesus. What is man trying to do today? He's trying to get to God by bypassing Jesus. And God's already said, I'm a spirit, and I must be worshiped spirit and truth. So that means you're going to have the Holy Spirit of God inside of you, knit with your spirit, because that's how God has designed man, and that's how God is designed to communicate with man. Now, this is important to the message on why Christian kids go bad. Very important. Now, I need to wind this down this morning. I'm going to finish this right here, point two. And then next week we will get into Satan's management system of oppression. What begins to happen in a life of a young teen and what's happening in the life of the youth in America and why they're going bad and where we have went wrong as parents. But God created man with a spirit. God to spirit, to soul, to body. So it kind of looks like master, manager, employee. God communicates to your spirit. Your spirit should be the master. The master or the employer talks to the soul inside of you, which is your manager. Your soul is where your mind, your will, and your emotions are. And then it tells the body, your soul, which is the employee, what to do. So that's why Ephesians 5:18 says this. Let me read it in case I misquote it. This will shed some light on us. 5:18, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. He said, I want you to be controlled by the Holy Spirit of God. That's a capital S there. And he says, it's just like when a person is drunk on fermented whiskey or alcohol or wine, they come under the control of that spirit. That's how I want you to let the Holy Spirit control your life. So I will communicate to you through the Spirit, because I'm a spirit, if you want communication with God. And then you've got to communicate to me through the Spirit, through that comforter. A comforter. We'll get to that. Because Solomon said these kids have no comforter. And then it communicates to the soul and then the soul to the body. Man or the devil always starts from the outside in. He communicates to the eye gates, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, the pride of life. God works from internal persuasion out. The devil works from outside oppression in. So we understand God's design of man. Now this morning I'm going to stop us. We've been long enough now. And I'm going to stop right there. I didn't think I could get through this message this morning. But hopefully I'm going slow enough that you can understand as I lay the groundwork down to answer our question on why Christian kids so many times go bad. And not just Christian kids. I'm talking about the youth in America. What has happened to the youth in America? What has happened to this next generation? And we could sit back and slap around ideals and opinions all day long, but we need to get to the root of the matter. Let's stop treating the symptoms and start treating the cause. And let me give you that cause. Where I'm going with this is we need to be more concerned about our teaching our children and developing a relationship with God than all the rules in the world that we can throw at them. Because I'm going to tell you something about rules. They only develop the soul, not the spirit. And if you never introduce your children to Jesus Christ, and then after you introduce them to Jesus Christ, teach them how to communicate with God through the Spirit. Let me ask you this. Have your children ever seen you on your knees praying out loud to God to meet some need, communicating with God? Have you ever spent any time with your children teaching them how to develop a friendship and what it means to be a friend? That's why I like that song this morning. Christ overlooked our faults and seen our needs. So many times we don't want to overlook our children's faults. And we fail them by not helping them develop a relationship with Christ. And that's why they grow up now, and I'll be into this, I'll prove it to you next week, without a comforter. They don't know how to get in touch with the Comforter. They don't know how to communicate to Jesus, who's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, to help them through the oppression time. That's why many people just can't stop sinning. That's why they just can't slap themselves back to reality and just live right. Because the power is on the side of the oppressor. And without Jesus Christ in your life, you will stand powerless against Satan. And rules do not make a child a Christian. rules should show us when we're not in fellowship with Christ. The Bible says that the law was a schoolmaster to point us to Jesus. Keeping the rules don't make you spiritual. When you break the rules, it shows you you're not in relationship with the Spirit. See the slight difference? Man wants to reverse that order and say, just kiddies, keep all these rules. Don't question me. Have you ever heard that? Don't question me. You just do what I tell you to do, when I tell you to do it, how I tell you to do it. But they never explain anything. They work from the outside in and think that's just good enough. It's not, folks. Because you're allowing that oppressor to come in and to twist those kids into a state of emotional instability, and they will fall every time.